Hello there. This is Salim Omar from the CPM Marketing Genius podcast. I'm excited. We've got a special guest. He brings 30 plus years of experience in the managerial leadership role. And Julian Chapman is his name. Julian, welcome.
Thanks very much, Salim. It's terrific to be here with you.
Great. I'm really excited. Looking forward to this interview because it's going to talk about leadership, about people and helping them. And before we start with the questions, Julian, give us like your backstory.
Okay.
What brings you here to, you know, up to date?
Thanks, Salim. Well, my background is a different background. My background is I started off as a young private soldier in the Canadian Army and decided I didn't really like the way the leaders were behaving at the time. So I thought I could do it better. Boy, was I wrong. But anyway, we can talk about my mistakes along the way. But that started me in a career in leadership development. And so I was able to transition my military background into a civilian career. And I sort of had, as we say in Canada, I had one foot in the canoe and one foot on land. In other words, I had a civilian career and I had a military career simultaneously because I did a lot of my service as a reservist. And as a result of that, I came to a company called Forrest & Company. And now as a result of a management buyout, I too am an entrepreneur, I suppose, of sorts. And so running a business here in Toronto, Canada, around managerial leadership. So that's kind of the very quick and dirty, at any rate, on my background and my backstory.
Awesome. Great. So we all have been busier than ever at work, you know, no matter what we do for a living. On the other hand, why do we feel more and more disconnected from our teams and then the organization's main goals?
Yeah, I think that there's really three reasons for that. One of them is that certainly, you know, in the post-COVID era, or if it is post-COVID, whatever we call this era, we've been working really hard and we've been working really hard at home. And I would suggest that the nature of that work is on the first level is that we're busily working on what we think we should be working on. And this is where the managerial leadership becomes really important, because what's happening is our employees and even ourselves are working on things that may not be adding real value. And where the value is added is by our manager clearly defining what is the work and what is the work expectation. And the second reason I would suggest is, and certainly your CPA audience would understand this, we struggle with decision-making in organizations, and we really struggle with prioritization. I find that working with our clients, that many of them are not very good at prioritization. And part of that is we don't understand how to make decisions. And by the same token, with prioritization comes risk. If I say that this is more important than that, that's kind of risky and that raises a certain amount of fear. So I'm just going to do it all. And I think the third one, and one point that I make to all of our clients, is that we lack clarity of strategy. Not strategy in the sense of a plan, but strategy in what we want to be when we grow up. So if you own your own CPA firm, for example, are you clear on what the end state is? What are you really trying to achieve? And that's really important for our employees and for ourselves to understand, because that enables us to make the choices in order to prioritize. So I would say that those are three aspects of that we're just going, as they say, if you'll pardon the phrase, hell-bent for leather. In other words, we're just going, and we need to spend more time reflecting.
Huh. So, I mean, I know a lot of listeners are going to identify with the going part, because it is that. It's super busy. Things are coming at, you know, there's deadlines. There is work that needs to get out of the door. There is client emails and requests and all that. So it is quite hectic. How does one make sense of it? How do we kind of, you've mentioned, reflect? How do we do that in such a busy environment?
Yes. Well, reflection is a critical part. It's about making the time. One of the things that I often say to my clients is that we are all victims of this imbalance, but we're also perpetrators of the imbalance. We don't pause and take the time. And particularly those in managerial leadership roles, so if you own your own business or you have managers working for you, they have to be doing their work and at the same time also performing the managerial leadership function. In other words, leading the people and creating the systems that need to be in place. So those are critical pieces to this whole thing. I do a lot of work in the realm of post-traumatic stress with our clients. And one of the things that's come out of the first responder community is the notion of sanctuary trauma. So this is, as a first responder, day to day, I deal with the trauma of my work. But if I have additional trauma because my work is not set up properly when I get back to the office, in other words, then I have additional trauma, and first responders see this as even bigger. And so I would suggest, and I talk about the nature of sanctuary trauma as being problematic for people because they're not getting any relief in the workplace. The workplace just keeps building and building and building. Mm. So how do we ensure that our employees don't get additional sanctuary trauma or ourselves as leaders?
Now, you mentioned clarity earlier on. How can a lack of clarity or accountability and authority impact an accounting firm?
It's a great question, Salim, because what happens is that we're doing the work that we've always been doing, and it may not actually be adding value. And by the same token, we may feel personally responsible, a personal feeling of obligation to do things that are not adding value. And so what we need from our bosses is we need that clarity as to what is the expectation. And that starts, first of all, by having clarity of strategy and then clarity of who does what and clearly defining roles and what we refer to as accountabilities. In other words, what am I actually accountable for here as opposed to what do I feel personally responsible for? And so it's important for us to define what are the expectations of our employees, what are they accountable for, and what authority do they have to fulfill that? Can they make the decision? Can they get service from somebody else in the office in order to fulfill their work? Do they actually have a say over what someone else does? These are all things that we just take for granted as we're in this hurly-burly work, but we as managerial leaders really need to define that, to take the time to provide that sort of backdrop, that clarity, as we refer to it, role clarity.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that the managerial leader, and I like the term managerial leader because that's exactly what it is. It's the owner, the leader that's playing a managerial role. So they're playing like two roles, managerial and leadership. You know, what are some of the things that a firm owner, the managerial leader, can do today to start having those, you know, having that in their firm, clarity, accountability, and authority, and giving them authority?
Yeah, and if I can just, before I launch fully into that, I think it's important to understand that tension between task and people. And that's why we talk about managerial leadership. So the management of task and the leading of people. And so it does start, first of all, with clarity of what is the expectation? What are we really trying to get to? So what's the clarity of the strategy? In other words, what do we want to be when we grow up? And then how do we structure the work? And providing that clarity to people. So it's a matter of sitting down and actually engaging with the employees and finding out and being clear on what it is that you need them to do. And that begins to start that process of true managerial leadership. Sitting down with our employees and telling them exactly what it is that we need them to do and taking that time. But again, it's a matter of the managerial leader has to take that time, has to take the time, carve out the time, as I suggest, you know, you actually get into your calendar and you block off time to actually do this. It's about working on the business rather than working in the business. In order to be truly successful, you have to work on the business. In other words, clarifying the work and the expectations. And so that's going to take time out of your busy day. And particularly, you know, as tax season approaches and all those sort of things, all those other tensions. But if you can do that, you will find that you will have more engaged employees.
How much time do you feel someone should carve out?
Well, you know, as a general guideline, we tell our clients that you spend about an hour per employee to actually sit down and define their accountabilities, not the activities that they do, but what are they actually accountable to deliver as their end state. And then you have to give them those accountabilities, but also let go of how they do it and enable them to do it. And it's often very hard, you know, if you have a firm, to not want to get in and tell people how to do things. Mm-hmm. You need to enable them to use their own judgment and discretion so that they feel engaged. They may come up with better solutions than you would have. They will be different, but it's about making sure that they understand, what is that end state? What does that look like? What do I need you to deliver here? And we use a simple acronym. It's called QQTR, quantity, quality, time when it needs to be done by, and what resources are available. So how many of something, what is the nature of the quality of that, when does it need to be delivered, and what are the resources that individual has? It's a very powerful tool. A lot of organizations talk about SMART goals and things like this, but the value of this QQTR is that as circumstances change, we adjust. So if I can't deliver it in time, I need to go to my boss and say, I can't deliver that on time, not 5 minutes before it's due, but in enough time. And so my boss, my manager, then changes the cues. Do they decrease the quantity, decrease the quality, increase the time, or increase the resources? If I can deliver it earlier, which is really important as well, do I increase the quality, increase the quantity, decrease the time, or decrease the resources? This is core to the accountability piece, but it's the manager who defines what that is in dialogue with their employee. So that's a quick step, but
yeah, powerful. I like that acronym. How does one know how much quantity can be done, what the production should be for a team member?
Well, and that's the tough part, right? That's the tough part, because you've got to make a call. You're making a judgment call into the future as opposed to elapsed time that goes from the past. So that's what we've got to get good at. And an employee, you realize that this needs to be, we need this many by this amount of time into this quality. The employee, if they're just doing it for the first time, may feel uncomfortable, but you have to use your judgment and discretion and engage in a dialogue with them. And if they're just doing it for the first time, you may spend more time monitoring them over that T or time from the QQTR. You may spend more time to help them from that standpoint. Or if they've done it 1,000 times, then you probably don't have to monitor as much. But it's about, you've got to use your judgment and discretion. You've got to make a call.
Yeah, and I like what you state there, that it is collaborative. It's really having a dialogue with the team member as well. And I guess a relationship as well, that it's an open relationship where if the team member is feeling overwhelmed or there's so much that, you know, they need to reduce their workload or the number, you know, the quantity, that they have the ability to come to the manager, to the managerial leader, and do that.
Yes.
You know, discretion there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It is, all work is actually the exercise of judgment and discretion. The employee will use their judgment and discretion in how they do their work. And we, as managers, have to use our judgment and discretion. And really what you're assessing is their use of judgment and discretion. But you talked about the relationship, and that's pretty key, because when you're in a managerial leadership role, you have to recognize that you got there because of your technical know-how. And I find that this is one of the big problems that managers struggle with, is they have this technical know-how. So I'm a CPA, I've got this background, I got this technical background, but that forms my foundation. But I have to realize that my work, if I have a group of employees, my work is now the management of task and the leading of people. And I have to let go of my technical know-how as much as possible and focus on clarifying the work and engaging with them and engaging in a relationship. And that's where I find, certainly in our clients who are CPAs, they actually struggle with that because they have this vast technical know-how and they can't let go of that and realize that their work is really about the management of the tasks and the leading of the people.
Right. What are some of the things that you hear or you observe leaders, managerial leaders do that are hurting their relationship? They're hurting, you know, it's got a negative impact on the business, on their firm.
Well, I think one is just leaving people to the work. You know, so I just fire and forget. I spit out, go and do this, and I don't engage with them. I think another is, and particularly in this day and age, so a second one would be that I don't know my people and promote their welfare. In other words, I don't really know what makes them tick, and I don't get to know them on a personal level so that I really don't know what's happening in their world. Because this idea of work and life being two separate things, it's really a fallacy. It's not like we cut our heads off and put on another head when we're in our work mode. Our lives are impacting it all the time. And so it is really about engaging your people and knowing their strengths, their weaknesses, all of those things. As we say to leaders, you need to be able to define who you are, why you're here, and what you're trying to build. You need to be able to define that, and you need to be able to tell your people that. Because often we don't know why we're doing what we're doing. And I find that managers fail, so that I guess this is the fourth one, managers fail in setting context. Context is critical, particularly if you're going to get people to use their judgment and discretion. They need to know why. And far too often, managers don't set context, explain the situation, and explain what they're trying to do. Instead, it's just, hey, go and do this. And then the employees feel disengaged from the work. They need to understand the context. They need to understand the context of your business, the context of the environment, your customers, all of these sort of things.
Yeah, wow, so many gems that you just fired away there in the last couple of minutes, especially. That was pretty awesome. Yeah. You know, being a leader is not easy, right? It's a challenge. It's really the leader is doing a technical role as well many times in the firm. So they've got to do their work. And then they got to carve out time, as we said earlier, to do all this leadership stuff. So, you know, that adds a big challenge, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And again, back to the point that if you have this technical know-how that is your foundation, you have to almost catch yourself from sliding back. The analogy I use, it's like buying a dog and barking as well. In other words, I've got all of these employees that are working for me, however many, you know, three, five, whatever. I can't be doing their work. They have to be doing their work. My job is to monitor and check how well they're doing it, coach them, and assess how effective they are in delivering that QQTR, as I talked about earlier, how effective they are on that. We spend a lot of time talking about output. We measure everything by output. And I would imagine that certainly for CPAs, outputs, it's a measurable thing. It's tangible. Right. We can count it. But we also have to look at how effective people are in delivering that output. You don't want to get the output and leave a trail of bodies behind, you know, impacting your customers or your clients. You have to look at the effectiveness of our employees. And so really what you're doing is you're, as the manager, you're accountable for their effectiveness, how well they work, how they behave with one another. Far too often, you get these internal tensions in organizations when employees are not, they're trying to do their work, they're trying to do their best work, but if they're not clear on their work, they can start getting involved in other people's work and start drifting over. So we have to make sure that we are checking that their behavior is acceptable and how effectively they are working together and with one another.
Yeah, yeah, this is awesome. I'm looking at the clock and we are almost out of time, a couple of minutes. This has been super, super good. Is there a question, Julian, I should have asked you? That I should have absolutely asked you that I didn't ask you?
Oh, that's a tough one, because as you can tell, I can talk until the cows come home. So I think what I would say is that it's really important, this impact of our technical know-how, particularly for CPAs. You know, I've worked with accounting firms, I've worked with accountants, I've worked with actuaries and the likes. And it's really important to recognize that I need to spend more time on the business than in the business. If I want my business to truly flourish. And if I have managers underneath me, then I need to spend more time focusing on how well they're managing, how well they're leading, rather than their technical output. So that's another piece to this. And that's what got me to write my book, The Managerial Leadership Journey, An Unconventional Business Pursuit, because I saw this time and time again, the lack of professionalism in our managerial leadership. And I call it a journey because it's not a one and done thing. We can't just you know, take a quick course on this and suddenly we're a magnificent leader. It's an ongoing journey. And I've been doing it for a long time, over 40 years now. And I learn every day. I learn every day from my clients. I learn every day from what goes on out there. And I need to pause and reflect on that in order to be truly an effective managerial leader.
Great. How can folks get their hands on your book? Because this has been such an insightful interview. People want to read more. They want to, you know, learn more. How can they get hold of the book, or what's the best way to reach out to you?
Yes, well, certainly the book is available on Amazon. It's in the United States. It's available at Barnes & Noble. It's available out there. The book is The Managerial Leadership Journey, An Unconventional Business Pursuit. It's relatively easy to find when you Google it. I also have a website, managerialleadershipjourney.com, which gets into more of the details, where people can actually download the first chapter of the book. But there's also exercises in the book. There's reflection exercises. And that's one way for a leader to actually engage in this journey, is to take those questions and ponder them and sort of carve out the time to ponder them. And failing that, reach out to us at forestandco.com. Forest is in the trees, but with two R's, forestandco.com. And love the opportunity to chat with anyone at any point around this journey and where they need to go.
Great. Julian, thank you so much. This was amazing. Really appreciate everything, all the insights, the gems that you shared with us.
Well, thank you, Salim. Thanks for having me on. This was great.
Awesome. You have a good day. Thanks, everyone.
All the best.
Thanks for listening to the CPA Marketing Genius podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can find them at cpamarketinggenius.simplecast.com or on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about Salim and CPA Marketing Genius, please visit cpamarketinggenius.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the CPA Marketing Genius podcast.